As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode, the first episode of a new show on the Athletic Hockey Show. We're recording this on Thursday evening, but it's being posted very early on Friday morning. Are we the Thursday night show or are we the Friday show?
I think you're already revealing too much about our production schedule here. I don't appreciate that.
That's a bad start.
How about the Friday show?
There
the
we
Friday
go.
Show.
Danielle.
Thanks,
yes.
Danielle.
Producer
so
Danielle.
So this is a new show. My name's Haley Salvian with Sean Gentile. Our producer is Danielle Lehman. As you just heard, the Friday show.
That's it.
It's very special. It's very new. Thank you for joining us, everybody.
You're kind of using a radio voice here.
No, there's I'm been... not.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. This is like, you know, Fan 590 fill-in morning show host, Haley Salvian.
I will never do that again.
Whereas I'm
Sean. I'm coming to you live from my bedroom.
This is
where
past.
I don't put the drawers away when I'm talking to
Don Granato.
Donnie Meatballs.
It's blurred out.
You're just so relatable and fun and cool.
That's right. Past, present, and future Craig Custon sidekick, Sean Gentile. That's what it says. That's what it says on my resume. I've gotten jobs that way.
Yeah. Hi, I know Craig Custon's.
Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, he was on ESPN. Really nice dude from Michigan.
I was doing some prep work when I was in Denmark for the Women's World Championships. And I was trying to find something out about the 2017, I believe it was 20, no, it was probably 2019, not 2017. Something about the new USA hockey contracts because they were negotiating a new one and they still are at this point. And I was on something about ESPN.ca and reading something. And all of a sudden I hear Craig Custon start talking in my hotel room in Denmark. And it was like a pop-up video from when Craig worked at ESPN. Talking about it on ESPN. And I was like, this is really weird. It just freaked me out. I'm alone in this little like Best Western in Denmark. And
Herning,
Craig
Denmark.
Craig Custon's
my worst.
Pops up somewhere.
I've had nightmares about that. As someone who's been professionally joined at the hip, basically, with Craig, outside of like a couple years at ESPN, like from the start, right? Like I'm 36. I worked with Craig since I was for 10 out of 14 professional years. It's like, that is nightmare stuff. Imagining his voice like pop up in a hotel room out of nowhere.
How is he watching everything?
Get away from me.
Craig, no.
Outside of my parents and possibly my sister, I think I've spent more time on the phone with Craig than anybody on the planet. So that's like, yeah, that's a major, you know, did he tap the wall situation?
We love Anyways, that.
This is, you know what? That's actually what the format of this show should be. We can just sit here for 45 minutes or so every week and talk about Craig. His likes, his
dislikes.
Isn't
that what you do on Tuesdays? You just talk about Craig and Craig talks about himself.
No, we talk about me on Tuesdays.
Anyways, thanks everyone for listening. This is a new show with the Athletic Hockey Show that we have. It's going to be out every Friday. The aim is to have them posted on Friday mornings because there is the prospect series that comes out on Fridays when Corey Pronman and Max Boltman are doing it. Corey Pronman makes his own schedule. So
he does what he wants.
They have a show whenever. They had a show one day on a Monday. It's like, that's fine. Corey Pronman has the keys to whatever he wants to do. But he's we are going to be every Friday. You can bank that.
Corey's lucky that Max is his partner. He's the most like agreeable dude on the planet. So it's like whenever Corey wants to talk about, you know, whatever, the 75th best prospect in the 2027 draft. Just ring up Maxie. Let's roll.
Yeah. It's totally fine.
He needs
Max
that flexibility.
Is great. We should have him on at some point because the Red Wings are always going to be interesting. So yeah. We'll have Max Boltman on. I'm sure you'll have him on Tuesdays as well. So it'll be a new fight. But thanks, everyone, for joining us. Again, this is our new show, Haley Salvi and Sean Gentile on Fridays. Training camps
classic.
Are open.
Wait a second. That was also like a classic Mendez reset. He's rubbed off on you. You're doing like radio pro shit. This is amazing.
No, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not.
Haley Salvian.
You're just used to listening to me be Ian's little sidekick who just like chimes in every once in a while.
It's more that I'm used to having like a stream of consciousness, like formless podcast with Craig.
No, you're used to just cutting Craig off and talking about nonsense.
Yeah. What can I say?
And cutting off, you know.
Training camps are open, everybody. You got some interesting injuries around the league. Let's go.
Why are you making fun of me?
I'm not.
Yeah, you are. That's not what I was saying. I was saying training camps are open.
And there's a lot of injuries, and we should talk about them because there are a lot of injuries.
But I was first going to just say, what is this time of year like for you, Sean? Obviously, you're a national writer now, so you're not necessarily, in terms of the day-to-day, you're not going down to Penguins practice to try to tweet out who's on the fourth line from group two. But what's it like for you? Because you've got all the previews going on. You had the player tiers. You did the emo list and didn't include, I've actually got a bone to pick with you.
I'm not gonna like whatever you say here.
You didn't include any Avril Lavigne.
Yeah. It's she's
or
not,
any Simple
insane.
Plan.
This is you are doing this to bother
there
me.
There was no Mariana's Trench.
I don't even know what that is. This is that's Canadian radio.
There was no Canadian pop punk early to mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Pete, you know, when I look at my emo phase
this is,
when I was in
not,
sixth grade.
Stop it. Stop it. I don't. My culture is not your costume. I don't appreciate this. Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about injuries.
No, I'm asking you what this kind of year, what is going on? Going on for you?
I had time off, which was nice. That like kind of wasn't in the cards for me the last few years because even when I was covering the Penguins,
yelled at me.
I don't. Whatever. It's fine. people need to understand the dynamic here. When I was writing about the Penguins more specifically, I was also doing like all Pittsburgh sports. So I had to deal with the Steelers and I had to deal with the Pirates, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So like summers didn't really exist. The idea of being like, all right, I'm not going to do that much in August was sort of foreign because that's like football season, right? You're talking about training camp and whatever else. So I didn't do much for a few weeks ahead of like really the second week in September. But man, it's season preview season SCN, which is the very annoying title of Dom's little spreadsheet document that he set up to, you know, divide up all these different sections we're writing for all 32 teams. That's like the big project for this month for me is, you know, we have the projected standings from Dom's model, and then we kind of use those as a framework and just sort of work within that, right? And talk about individual players and cores and sort of make our way through it. But so I'm in hell with that right now. We have two running every day, including on the weekends, which I was unaware of until 3 days ago. And we're just sort of plowing through them. So I'm like, today we ran, I believe, the Ducks and the Sharks. They're 26 and 25, maybe. And we're just kind of going through that two a day until the first week in October. So it's busy. I don't have to go to, like you said, Penguins camp and talk about, you know, how Nathan Legare looks or whatever else, which is fine. But I'm also locked into writing stuff about the Winnipeg Jets support players and whatever else. So it's busy. You know, this is crunch time because hockey's back officially, like in a real way. We have like normal training mm-hmm. camps. Isn't that funny?
It is. It's I've almost felt like a rookie the entire time I've covered this league because of mm-hmm. COVID and stuff. Like my first year in Ottawa was normal for the first three quarters and then it got canceled. And then I had two COVID seasons. And now I feel like I'm going back to my first ever training camp again.
Well, yeah, and you're not.
It was just so weird.
And you're also not in Calgary. So like any sort of like built up comfort you had or you know, routine that you had around covering the Flames, like that's out the door. It's a whole new group of players to deal with and a whole new routine. And this is all, you know, this is a sort of inside baseball stuff, but it is. It's like it's a pain in the ass to like figure out, you know, the best route to the practice rink and like what time you need to leave and the workflows mm-hmm. during camp days versus game days. I mean, it is. It's time to start figuring that out. And for us, I think for people with jobs like ours, that's sort of like the signal that we're back.
Yeah.
We're back to work is when you start figuring out those kind of like rhythms of the day and in the workflow stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at, even though I'm sitting here complaining about having to write about the Sharks or whatever else. I'm busy and I'm happy about it because, you know, busy in a way that we haven't been, I think, for the last few years, right? Or last few seasons at least.
This is also a weird time of year because you don't want to police how people enjoy training camp in the preseason.
Yeah.
But there's also just so much wild stuff that goes on. It's like you need to figure out when to give fans what they want and when to pump the brakes on something. Like,
yeah.
And I don't want to, like, one thing I saw today was, you know, Harmon, one of our Canucks writers, talking about how great Elias Pettersson looked at training camp. And, you know, that was one of the big takeaways. He looked really, really, really good. And I look at stuff like that, and I know that he had a really difficult start to the season. I mean, he wasn't even there the start of camp last year. So that's obviously a really nice change, because if the Canucks can get second half season Elias Pettersson, like under Bruce Boudreau Elias Pettersson, they're going to have a much better start and they'll probably have a better season. But it's stuff like that I read. I'm like, okay, shouldn't he be having a good start to camp? It's your best players. Like, how good are we talking here? Do we need to pump the brakes? Are we like, it's just so easy to read too far into stuff at this point in time.
It's on. Yeah, I think it's tough because I think you nailed it, is like, you want people to be excited because if people don't care about this stuff, we don't have jobs. So,
but
it's cool. You see it in other, that is like a cross sport thing, right? It doesn't matter mm-hmm. whether you're talking about football or hoops or baseball or whatever. We're in like best shape of his life season, right? That's always the line you hear. There's always guys who come to camp and it's like such and
they're
such.
They're feeling
like,
good.
Never felt better.
Ready, blah, blah,
made
blah.
some. I made some changes to my to my uh, to my training schedule in the off season. I'm feeling really good about it. I tweak my diets and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's just the sort of, that's where we are in the life cycle, I think, of the season, right? Is we're talking to guys about their off season, and nobody ever comes in. this is why it's funny. It's like nobody ever comes in to training camp or practice or the start of the season and is like, man, I feel like shit. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible.
Right.
I slacked off.
God forbid anyone actually says anything funny or honest.
Yeah, like, man, I slacked off. I slacked off during the summer. Like, me and my girlfriend had 12 days in Aruba. I ate whatever I wanted. I've been back for 6 days. I'm not ready yet. No one ever says that stuff. Everyone's always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and
I thought I was
going to
retire until somebody offered me $1 million and I said, okay,
all right, yeah. Phil might have said that, actually. I think there's a chance.
Love that. We love Phil Kessel. But yeah, that's always interesting. I feel like conversely, or I guess similarly, like that I come in after summer, it's relaxing, you know, you're able to go to the gym and make dinner more regularly, do nice things, have work-life balance. I feel like I'm thriving right now. And then the season starts and I sit down to do the podcast and realize I haven't had any water today.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I had a bowl of Cheerios at 3 p.m. when I got back from the rink, you know. Oh, no, this is where it all starts to go downhill for me.
Alex Kerfoot.
As a human being.
Alex Kerfoot isn't going to talk to himself. Like, someone needs to ask him questions.
That's right.
It is funny because it's like we're seeing this, right? Like, camps are opening everywhere and we're having those, like, kind of obligatory discussions with guys where it's like, tell us about your off season and blah, 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 blah.
What did you do? How do you feel?
But mixed in with all that stuff, mixed in with all the, I've never felt better, I'm in the best shape of my life, mixed up in there is actual, usable, relevant information coming out of some of these teams, right? And we saw that today.
Yeah, there's been some big takeaways. Again, it's still early, but there have been some pretty big takeaways at the start of camp. I don't know if I saw anything more interesting and consequential out there, more so than the Philadelphia Flyers. And what we kind of saw parsing through Charlie O'Connor, our Flyers writer, and his social media accounts today. So Ryan Ellis, who joined the team, I guess, 2 years ago now.
It was before last season.
Right. So I guess it was just 1 year. So he played like 6 games, looked great. I don't have that right in front of me. I think he had a couple games with the Flyers. Everyone can see like, yeah, this guy's really good. And then he's out for the entire season. And there was this really weird gray area for the whole year where people didn't really know what was going on with Ryan Ellis. Like, is he going to play? What's the status? What's the injury? Is he ever going to talk? He wasn't even at the rink for a while. Mm-hmm. And now we hear today that his injury is going to keep him out for the season. And I don't know if this was irresponsible messaging or if this is actually the reality of his situation. So I want to be careful with that. But I did see some headlines that it could be potentially career ending. So that's a massive blow for Ryan Ellis, the person, the hockey player, and the Flyers, because this is that was a really important piece of any chance they had to be competitive.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Like, you don't want – it's never good to see guys' careers potentially end, seems like that's what we're dealing with. This is the second day in a row where there's been like kind of, well,
they can't explain fully what's going on.
Yeah, that's probably, and they haven't been able to do that for months. And there was some like allusion to it on Wednesday, and now we're on Thursday, and Chuck Fletcher called it multifaceted core injury, and now there's a hip component. This is Fletcher talking. There's a hip component. Yeah. There's an adductor component.
Yeah,
and he doesn't know if he's going to have surgery. But here's the other thing. Have you ever seen that word before? Psoas.
Psoas. Is that how am I pronouncing? It's a muscle.
Is it a silent?
It's in your. It's in like your. I think it's a. Oh God, I don't know. I thought it was a psoas muscle.
Okay.
Am I pronouncing that poorly?
Probably. That's like pronounced like psoriasis, basically. There's a silent P at the front of it.
Yeah. That's in
I have never.
It's like the kind of.
It's at the top of your ass.
It's like, but I'm pretty sure that has something to do with back pain.
Yeah. It's like, it's like a sciatica. So he's got stuff in his back. He's got stuff in his hips. Stuff in his hip.
I thought it was a core problem at one point, too.
I mean, that kind of, that kind of is. Like, there's abdominal stuff going on. And we learned today that he's, you know, that he's
out indefinitely, no timetable.
In all likelihood, going to miss most,
if he plays, it'll be a bonus.
And this is a day or two after we find out that Sean Couturier has re-injured his back, which, you know, you always love seeing serious back injuries from 29-year-old players who are about to start 8-year mega contract extensions. You feel terrible for Couturier, but he hurt it lifting weights, right? So all these reasons that we thought the Flyers were maybe going to be, well, I shouldn't say we. All these reasons that the Flyers thought that maybe they were going to play relevant hockey and that they were going to, you know, right the ship. The two biggest, if you came up with like a list of reasons that, you know, reasons for Chuck Fletcher to be, you know, whatever, way, way, way overly optimistic to the point of delusion. Number one and number two were like, yeah, we're getting Sean Couturier back. And we're getting, and maybe we're getting Ryan Ellis back. You get a 1C back and you get, and you're getting a top pair right shot defenseman, right?
Yeah, like that you've got was a coach in John Tortorella. Like, there's, you know, we always thought, and Charlie O'Connor put this so well, that the Flyers believed they were in a different spot than maybe the masses did. Like, the Flyers' own opinion of themselves, I think there's a divide between that and what, you know, observers and, you know, hockey writers and such think about the Flyers. I think now it's starting to align a little bit more because of all these circumstances. And I don't know, at what point do you feel a little bit bad? I don't want to say I feel bad for Chuck Fletcher, but this is massive amount of like unlucky stuff falling in his lap.
It's unlucky.
And I don't know that some of it you can say like, this is your fault. You are the architect of this team, but some of it's not. How are you going to know this was going to happen to Ryan Ellis and Sean Couturier?
It's his fault because he pinned the entire hopes of the organization on a guy coming back from a major back injury and a guy coming back from a hip injury or a core injury or whatever we're calling it, that they basically couldn't, it was so complicated that they couldn't even describe it. And that's Fletcher's mistake. Like, Charlie, I think Charlie has done a great job.
He's
of like,
very good at his job. We'll absolutely give Charlie a.
And what he said, and I think he was like dead on, like nails accurate with this. Is if you know maybe a little bit less about the Flyers, you look at them and you're like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, there's no coherent plan there. Like, what the hell, right? They're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. And Charlie all off season long has been like, no, there's a plan. Like, you can disagree with it if you want. You can think it's stupid. And me personally in my chair right now, I'm like, of course I think it's dumb. I thought it was dumb from the start because that team was bad last year. And they were bad for reasons that went beyond not having Sean Couturier and Ryan Ellis around.
Yeah, or Tortorella behind the bench.
Yeah, and it's like that's going to be the solution. Like, if you're not a legitimate contender in the NHL, just tank.
This is a fan base. I feel bad for Chuck Fletcher. I feel bad for
Flyers fans.
The fan base.
Yeah,
because especially like when the Johnny Gaudreau, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Stuff was at its peak in Calgary. Think of all of the people who were just trying to like pump up Flyers fans to say like, maybe he's going to go home. Maybe he's going to go home. Johnny Gaudreau might leave. You know, it's not going to be easy to get the cap space, but maybe Chuck Fletcher, it's going to be easy. Just dump James Van Riemsdyk to Phoenix, man. Or Arizona. Do this, do that. Get Johnny Gaudreau. They failed to do that. Flyers fans are understandably upset. And now it's It's unfair because obviously they did not know that this was going to happen with Ryan Ellis. But can you imagine if you knew that that kind of a contract was going to be on LTIR?
I mean, yeah, they didn't know. Did they? Like, I don't know.
If they knew and they didn't put him on LTIR to do what they could to try to get Johnny Gaudreau back in Philadelphia, that's another massive, massive mistake by the Philadelphia Flyers.
I don't think you can put anything past that group.
Anyways, right now. I saw that Charlie said this again. We should have just had Charlie on the show.
Yeah.
And I could have talked to him about emo music. He would have been a better sport about it than you were. I was just trying to list every kind of like somewhat moody sounding Canadian pop punk band. Anyways.
I thought we moved on from
that. We did move on from that. I'm just explaining myself because you yelled at me 10 minutes into our debut show. Anyways. I saw Charlie said something on a podcast and he was like, things have just become so absurd with the Flyers that you just have to laugh. Like, I don't 100%. Know if there's a team. I know the Flames had a wild off season. You know, things got really bad. And then Brad Tree Living did all this stuff and they had the upswing. The Ottawa Senators had a big off season. Stuff happened around the league, but I don't know if there's a team out there that has had just more shit pile up. Mm-hmm. And stuff happened than Philadelphia from the stuff that they didn't do, from the mistakes that they made, the things that they did. It's just,
oh man, and who,
my God.
Who could have seen this coming? Who could have imagined that, again, the guy with the serious back injury was going to have another serious back injury, and the guy with the magic, you know, confusing, serious core injury that kept him out for 76 games or whatever it was, wasn't going to be ready to roll. Like, of course, this is how it was going to turn out. Yeah. And everybody who paid any attention to this team could see it coming, except for the dude who makes the decisions on payroll and signing on who to sign and who to trade and who to bring back. The mm-hmm. anger, and I'm like, whatever. I'm in Pittsburgh, right? Like, I'm not following a ton of Philly folks on Twitter. The anger that you see from Flyers fans towards Fletcher specifically is high, even if you're grading on the curve and saying like it's Philly, they're just kind of aggro and that's their thing. Like, this dude I will say for all this to happen for Couturier and Ellis to both end up on the shelf again within 24 hours of each other at the very start of training camp, I think that's like kind of the unpredictable part. Like, mm-hmm. you thought maybe they would make it a little bit farther, that there'd be one day or a week or a month where it's like, okay, let's see how this goes. Maybe you're right. Not on board with the Fletcher plan, but you're saying like, I can see how this could happen. Like, we'll at least let it fail on its own merit. And mm-hmm. it's already there. And they haven't had a real practice yet. It's amazing. And this team, by the way, go ahead.
I will say too, and sorry to cut you off. No. I feel like they're still, as bad as that stuff is, and as laughable as it is, and how, you know, they're not the worst team in the league, and that makes it worse in a way. Because they're not going to be bad enough that they can, you know, tank for Bedard.
Unless they go
and do something, but they still have, like, Kevin Hayes. You went and made that D'Angelo move. You have Provorov, Sanheim, Atkinson, Konechny, Lawton, Carter Hart's a fine goalie. Like, these aren't great names. Like, you're not sitting at home being like, yeah, Travis Konechny. But there's a little bit of a sprinkle of enough there that they're not, like, maybe something goes wrong and they tank out and things are bad. But you also have a coach who's trying to change the culture and make people more accountable and make them competitive. Like, this team is, despite all of the crap that is happening right now and how bad they are going to be and the opportunity to just blow it up and start from scratch, I think they're going to be stuck in the mushy middle for God knows how long.
Well,
I would be more optimistic about the Philadelphia Flyers if they bottomed out and had a tank for Bedard. Like, I bet you feel better as, I don't want to say Montreal, who's one of the other bottom tier teams, like Arizona. Like, you're maybe not Arizona.
We're running, whatever. We're running season previews from 32 on down based on Dom's projections. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we ran Philly yesterday.
Right.
In
you
Philly,
probably want whatever team that came before over Philly, the Philadelphia exercise.
You nailed it, because Philly is the worst team that is not trying to be bad.
Yes.
All the ones below them are in tank mode, right?
Like
Philly.
Who's the bottom two?
Arizona and Montreal.
Like, you would way rather, if you had to pick which organization you want to have right now,
100%.
Like, pop and pick one up. Like, you want the Montreal Canadiens. You want, I'm trying to think where, you'd rather be Columbus. You'd rather be whoever.
Completely.
Like, it's just, they're bad and they're stuck in the middle, and the middle is death. And I don't see a way out of this, because they are capped out too, and they're terrible. Maybe they'll get some LTIR relief, but damn. Mm-hmm.
Went Arizona, Montreal, Chicago, Buffalo, Philadelphia.
I'd rather have a Sabres.
From 32.
I'd rather have a Sabres.
100%.
I feel so bad 100%. For Flyers fans. I feel very bad. If you were listening to this, I'm sorry.
You should feel, in a way, though, like, this is, it's not good news for Sean Couturier, and it's not good news for...
Oh, of course. Like,
and it's not good news for Ryan Ellis, but this is like... From an organization.
I hope they're
going
to be okay as humans who have to live their lives.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
But like, if you strip all that away in a vacuum, when you're talking about the best on ice result, the best on ice, you know, sort of situation for the Flyers, like this is it. Because they're projected, by the way. Couturier's injury happened before we while we were writing the Flyers preview. So Dom worked that into the model, accounting for the fact that Couturier is going to miss whatever, 60 games, I think is the number we kind of settled on. And that dropped them behind, that dropped them at least one spot and possibly two. So their projection in Dom's model and whatever, I'm not going to go through, you know, the reasons that, you know, I'm not going to, this is not the time or the place to explain. Mm-hmm. Explain any of that. The projection has them at 76 points. This is a team, again, that spent all offseason trying to improve. 76 points. They think they're going to be in the playoff race. And that is it's amazing.
Woof.
So, anyways,
moving on from the Philadelphia Flyers.
That was like 20 good minutes about the Flyers.
That's really good. And you know what? You were making fun of me for doing the radio thing and trying to be a good host that I totally forgot, because I was flustered, to tell everyone who our first guest is. You'll see it in the title of the show. So, you know, it's fine. Like, if you're reading the title, you'll see that it's Jack Campbell. He's laughing. Stop laughing at me.
Sweetie pie Jack Campbell.
He was great. We had some fun with Campbell. We'll go to that interview shortly. But obviously, yeah. Edmonton Oilers new starting goalie Jack Campbell joined us for our first show. There may or may not have been a Happy Gilmore impression. Two of the three people on this show, and I will give you a hint. I wasn't one of them.
Yeah, it was
Sean and Jack just became great little friends.
The other impression was from Danielle. She chimed in and she did a little Nikki impression. It was crazy. everyone, look, Jack Campbell's got the rep for a reason. He's a lovely dude.
I will say, before we started recording, Sean was late, and Jack Campbell got a new puppy. His name is Huey. He's very cute. I saw the dog. Sean didn't.
He's a Bernese.
He was a mix.
Golden retriever mix.
With the Bernese, which was adorable. So that's what you have to look forward to. We have a nice conversation with Jack Campbell that's going to be coming up. One of the other things I did want to talk to you about first, though, two other interesting bits. And we're going to stay a little bit on the U.S. side, because I know on the Monday show we talk a lot about Canada. On Thursdays they talk a lot about Canada. This is the North American hockey show, but we're...
Team North America? Are we going to get the jerseys from...
Anyway, I was just calling us a North American show. Anyway.
This is the point. Right? Like, this is why we're This is why we're working without wires. We don't really have an outline.
You ruined my segue.
I don't care about your segue. Like I said, this is not a radio show. Try your segue. Go ahead. Go for it.
It wasn't even a segue. I was just saying we're going to stick with some of these American teams because there's been a lot of talk about Austin Matthews and Kyle Dubas, and that's fine. That's big stories. I mean, leave Austin Matthews alone. He's not even eligible for a contract extension for 10 months.
That's really funny.
Let's not do this right now, please. One player who is up next year who is eligible for a contract extension is Trevor Zegras. And today at training camp, day one for the Anaheim Ducks, GM Pat Verbeek said they're not going to be talking contract with Zegras until the end of the season. There's a couple other, like Troy Terry's in that mix too. Like they're just not going to do it. They're going to table it to the summer. And I don't
think...
It makes sense. Like this isn't... still on his ELC. Like they're not going to be, you know...
Tripping over themselves to get anything done.
No.
Verbeek's a hard ass too. He is. Like he's like comes from the Steve Yzerman... You know, that's not a
right.
That's not a touchy feely dude. Like he's just saying, this is it. We're like,
Sonny Milano's like, nope. He came in and he was just like, we don't have any more like feelings about guys who've been here for a while or whatever it may be. Like you're out, you're done.
Yeah. Look at what Verbeek did, man. He was the right guy for, I've said this on the show before. He was the right guy for that job because you needed someone.
Sometimes you need that.
You needed someone who's going to come in and be like Ricard Raquel and Josh Manson and like all these guys. Like just we're one of the six worst teams in the league with you. Like we can do that without you. Like see you later.
So what I do find interesting though, which is my jumping point here. What do we think? Like. I just short circuited.
What do you think a deal for like a new deal for Trevor Zegras would look like?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? How much would you pay Trevor Zegras right now?
Well, Trevor Zegras comes out and has another great season, he builds off of last year, is he getting Jack Hughes money?
Probably.
Or is Trevor Zegras gonna be the kind of guy that takes a bridge deal to have more control over the situation to maximize his earnings? Or is he just going to say, Jack and I are best buddies. You know, we had the stick thing last year. Like, give me his contract.
Yeah. Or does he say, like...
I want to figure out what's going to happen here in Anaheim and maybe be a bit more like Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah. It seems like I grew up a very big New York Rangers fan, maybe. I would like to head back to the East Coast, maybe. It's interesting.
Not to freak out Ducks fans, but we're just... This is where we're at right now. We have all these young... Yeah. Really talented players in the league who are there. Some of them are doing it. We saw Jack Hughes sign that contract, but we're seeing guys not just sit down and say, "Yep, got to sign long term." Like people aren't doing the McDavid thing.
No, and they shouldn't because like you can't. I mean, if you want to, it's understandable for guys to do it. You know. I feel like I criticize guys for signing long term like that maybe a little bit too often because if someone said like, "Hey, here's an eight year deal, we're gonna pay you $8 million in your Jack Hughes," that's a tough.
Why would you not take it?
That's a tough thing to turn down.
It's the same thing. It happened with Brady Tkachuk. You know, I had a lot of conversations with people, and I was so shocked that he signed long term because all I'd heard is. I don't know. I don't think so. I think he wants a bridge. I think he wants to see the direction of the team, et cetera, et cetera. And then when he signed the deal, you know, I talked to some people again, and they're like, it's one thing to say I don't want to sign for 8 years in November or September the year before, and it's another to turn that down when there's $50 to $70 million sitting on the table.
And it's one
thing with Trevor Zegras is, do we see Zegras signing that long-term deal? They don't have a captain now. Do you wait this year out? You sign Trevor Zegras to a big ticket and you give him the C and you keep building? Or is he going to go like a three-year route, make sure that his QO is going to be really high in the final year and he's going to see where things go? Because I don't know how the Ducks...
That you mean get the, out of this you either. Mean the you're talking about the Matthew Tkachuk method there, I believe.
Yes.
Right? Like you guarantee that you have a huge qualifying offer that puts all the pressure on the team.
He does have the same agent as Hughes too. They both are with Pat Brisson. So
yeah, I'll say this. That's a thing. That's a consideration because Pat's. Mm-hmm. I can imagine Pat being like, You're just gonna give him the same. That's the same.
Well, that's why I asked. Like, is he just gonna get the Jack Hughes deal and the captaincy perhaps?
He needs to have the Jack Hughes season to get the Jack Hughes deal. And for as great as he was last year, and for as
but he had a better rookie year than Jack Hughes did.
Yeah, he did. But there's meat left on the bone with him in terms of
you want to see him take another step.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like that doesn't mean he's overrated or anything like that. He was phenomenal last year.
How dare
right?
you?
He's whatever. He's in the 60s on points and whatever else. But like, we need to see more on something on the defensive side of the puck where his impact numbers are bad, and he needs to have like some kind of something other than points. Like that's what made his season last year a success. Was he was extremely successful from a point production standpoint. He was electric from whether it's the Michigan, just the overall vibes surrounding that dude are phenomenal in a way that we don't often see with hockey
players.
He's awesome. To the point where it's...
He brought a baby Yoda around for Star Wars Day.
He's also a proof of like how low the standard is for being like an interesting hockey player.
He's
because
so
that's
fun.
Just like... he's fun. He's fun, but he, you know, whatever. It would... There shouldn't just be one of those guys, right? Like we'd be in a much better space if we were talking about Jack Hughes being one of 15 guys in the league, personality-wise, they're like him or not, so whatever. There's work to be done, I think, on his output this year to make him, you know, a truly good, a good bet on the level that Jack was a good bet, a good bet on that on that deal. There needs to be some better 5-on-5 impacts and whatever else. That dude is 20 years old. I'm sure he'll figure it out. Like, he's supremely talented, obviously, and, you know, seems like he cares and all that. Like, it would be a shock if these are the things that come to players, like, later in their a little bit into their careers, right? Like, dudes are not fully formed.
He's
coming
only 21.
In.
It's fine.
Yeah. Like, there's not that many Patrice Bergerons, right? So, whatever. Like, you can learn things as you go. But there's meat on the bone, I think, in terms of him being truly worth that kind of commitment.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because we saw that, there wasn't an entry-level slide because he played like 20-something games in that first year of his contract. So I had to double-check. I had to check myself there for a second being like, this is the third year for him already? He didn't have two full seasons, but his contract didn't slide down because – and that's where one of those things where you look at it and you understand sometimes when people come from the player's perspective of like, are you going to potentially impact the amount of money you can make by not having that? Like, he had a fine first 20 games, but if last year was still technically his rookie season, but if that was his like true first year and he had two more years to build on it before negotiating a contract, then you're really talking.
And he played 11 fewer games in his first year.
Yeah.
Like,
or whatever it is.
They were trying. They were trying to keep him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Anyways, something to
think on. Like that, and that again, they're not gonna talk about it this year. But I like talking about Trevor Zegras. I think he's a really exciting player. He's someone to watch. And I'm just curious maybe what the trickle-down effect might be from guys like Tkachuk doing what they did. Last one before we move on to Jack Campbell, Jacob Chychrun was talking at camp. Again, these are lots of training camp takeaways we're going through here. And things that actually have some meat on the bone instead of just, you know, X player is in good shape after summer. Chychrun still wants to get moved to a situation with a chance to win. He did not get traded this at the deadline. He did not get traded this summer. He's back with the Coyotes, but his trade request still stands.
The request stands.
Do we have like an over under on when we think Chychrun actually ends up getting moved, or is he just screwed because of the flat cap? Because like, how are you going to get traded to a team with a chance to win when all the teams that have a chance to win are tight to the cap?
I think Jacob
or
Chychrun,
already figured out even, their blue line.
Yeah. So Jacob Chychrun.
This is a deadline thing, I'm sure.
You would imagine. But like,
I think the Coyotes need to maybe drop the asking price if, for his sake.
He wasn't great last season. But like, no. You know, you assume that maybe, you know, he bounces back and maybe recoups some of his value. I mean, there needs to, it needs to happen soon because he clearly wants out. The stuff he said today, those are the words of a dude who's had about enough, right? Because that team's terrible. Mm-hmm. They're the worst. Their projection is the worst that's ever made its way through Dom's model, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to, who cares about Dom really, right? But that means something. That team is not winning anytime soon. They're deliberately trying to lose games. For as valuable as Chychrun is, and for as good as he was the season before last, we're at the point now where his value is going to start dropping. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it was predicated on the fact that you're playing, you know, we'll say a top 20 defenseman in the league, $4.6 million through 2025. So there's,
right,
including this one, including the season we're about to start, he's got 3 seasons left on his deal. And that's part of what made it feasible for them to ask for, you know, the deed to the house whenever they were trying to shop him last season. There's a saying that comes to mind that we probably shouldn't use. They need to get moving. Like, let's just say it's time to go. It's like, mm-hmm, either fish or cut bait is probably the more.
Oh, you're gonna say the other one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's too gross to say on the podcast.
It's
whatever.
Gross.
They need to fish or cut bait on Jacob Chychrun, and it seems like my man is finished. And they're at the point now where we're talking about diminishing returns, right? Because at a certain point, teams, mm-hmm, are going to say, like, we're not going to give you that much because we're only going to have him for 2 full seasons now. Right? Mm-hmm. Balls in your court. So if they want the big return.
He's got a modified no trade clause coming up next season. In. 10-team no trade list.
They are not going to be good for the next 3 seasons unless, you know, maybe lightning strikes and they get Bedard. But there's still work to be done on that roster, even if they do get him. That's not a dude who sounds like he's going to be interested in re-signing in Arizona, mm-hmm, no matter what happens in 2025. He wants to win, and he wants to win now. And his value is only going to decrease from here on out because, like I said, a lot of it is like awesome, 4.6 for mm-hmm, 3 more seasons. So get him moving.
And he's still
Let's
not
do this. Let's
fully...
do this early. Let's do this and early.
He's still not fully healthy. He's still rehabbing that wrist injury, and he was not on the ice at practice. So that's another little wrinkle.
I wonder how much the wrist, that's an interesting
I'm
question.
Sorry. This is really funny. Like I feel, I don't like Coyotes PR tweeted out like Jacob Chychrun from Media Day. And it's quote, we're still playing it week by week at this point, and we're seeing how I continue to progress. Like I said, things are feeling really good. Like, can you imagine if you just saw that? And that was it. You're like, oh, wow, these things are going
everything's
great. Fine. They just left out.
But that's one of those
the
things.
The part where he says, I don't.
Yeah, I don't want to be here anymore. Yeah, that was so conspicuously absent. But like, look, man, every team sends those reps to Vegas for this big media thing. And they send Clayton Keller because Clayton Keller's locked up forever. Clayton Keller is the dude who read a statement in front of Tempe, mm-hmm, City Council. For the arena, he's their guy. He's the guy that if we're talking about this team being relevant in 4 years from now, he's going to be the guy who stuck around, and probably nobody else. Certainly not Jacob Chychrun. Like, you think Jake? Because Jacob Chychrun's like, I'm not going to go. I'm gonna go sit in front of a bunch of dorks in Las Vegas and answer questions about my contract status and talk about how I don't want to play here anymore. Am, mm-hmm, I going to go stump for an arena that I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that I never have to play in? Like, no.
Did you see the quotes from the president yesterday?
The president of the United States of America?
Yes. The president of the Coyotes.
No.
Our fan base understands that they'll be within 13 rows of NHL hockey. It will be a phenomenal experience.
Tickets are expensive.
I can kind of get that. Like, that's kind of fun. Like, that is cool if you've ever been to a game and sat that close to the glass, and it's awesome. But anyways, I think it's time to go to Jack Campbell.
It'll be
but
fun.
I think those are some, like, yeah. I think buried in when you kind of wade through the day-to-day stuff, there has been quite a bit that came out of these first couple days of training camp. Whether it's McKinnon re-signing, Dubas not having an extension, Ryan Ellis, Jacob Chychrun, I mean, Ryan Ellis slash everything that's happening in Philadelphia, Jacob Chychrun, and I'm sure there's more that we didn't have a chance to get to here, but it's certainly been... When you really take a look around the league and parse through it, there's been a lot that's kind of come out over these last 2 days, which is great for us.
You know what the biggest news is?
In the North American Friday.
North American Fridays.
Friday show.
Do you know what the biggest news is?
What?
Jack Campbell's true feelings on Red Lobster, which he's about to share with us.
That's coming up next.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So everyone, we're pleased to bring in the very first guest for the Friday edition. This is our big welcome. I'm not sure what the right word is. This is our big first get. Thank you so much, Jack Campbell, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm excited.
Yeah, thanks. So are we. This is great. I was, before we started recording, I told Jack that I was, in fact, a Calgary Flames media member for a couple years. So this is a controversial of me. Going to Edmonton for the launch of the Friday show. But I think it's great. We're excited to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And it's cool you experienced, you know, the Flames. It was a good series last year that I watched. And, you know, a lot more really good games this year.
Yeah. Wait a second. Let's start there. How much of that series did you watch? Like, was it an every night thing for you?
I did watch... Yeah, I watched Game 7 with LA and Edmonton, and I started watching the Calgary-Edmonton series pretty much every game. I was in Vancouver at the time, so I was, you know, games were on, I don't know, relatively early, I guess, but it was just fun to watch it. Fans were going nuts on both sides, and both great teams.
I was sitting in the Saddle Dome for Game 1, which was the... like 15 goal game or whatever. And I feel like I just consistently felt like I was getting like run over by a tractor or something. I just didn't know what was going on. I'd never experienced a game like that. Are you like your first battle of Alberta? Like you don't have to wait very long, Jack. I think game 2 for the Oilers is against the Flames in Edmonton. Like, are you prepared for this experience?
I can't wait. You know, I've definitely witnessed, you know, on TV and a bunch of my buddies have played for both sides and can't wait to experience it myself and get in there. And, you know, whether it's in Calgary or Edmonton, the fans are always going. You know, both teams are really good hockey teams and just can't wait to battle.
Was there a point where you realized that was maybe something you're interested in being a part of? Because, I mean, you grew up in Michigan. I grew up in Pennsylvania, like we're around the same age. I didn't really care about the Battle of Alberta. And I don't know if that was like a function of like the time period that we grew up in, because it was like kind of lean times for the Flames, lean times for the Oilers. Was it just as simple as talking to some of your buddies who'd played on either side? Like, when did you realize that was something that maybe, you know, you wanted to be a part of?
I think dating back to when I was in LA, when Drew Doughty and Tkachuk obviously had their battles, and you know, I thought that was a pretty big rivalry until you start watching the Edmonton-Calgary games. So, you know, watching, following those, and then last year in the playoffs, I think sparked it on another level. So, you know, this year should be a lot of fun.
Have you, I always feel badass. Obviously the goal as a goalie is to, you know, focus on stopping pucks. But when you see a goalie fight in a Battle of Alberta game, do you have a moment to yourself being like, would I do this? Would I be okay if this happened? Like, what would happen if a opposing, if Jacob Markstrom starts skating down a center ice? I don't think that's going to happen. I think somebody asked him that last year. He's like, I'm not a boxer, I'm a goalie. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, those games are intense. And, you know, our job is to stop the puck and help our team win. So as long as we're winning the game, that's all I care about.
So I guess we will transition out of the Battle of Alberta for you, Jack. You know, joining this Oilers team, you said you watched them a lot in the playoffs. You know, they make it to the Western Conference Final. Is, when you come and join this team, I mean, what's the kind of, you know, environment been like? You know, are you feel like you're joining a team that is just kind of hungry to take another step in the direction? Like, what's the kind of vibe been like in the locker room since you started?
Yeah, I mean, instantly once I was able to get the deal done with Edmonton, I started training, and I was living in Toronto, started training over with Gary Roberts, and you know, there's like six of the guys from the Oilers over there. So right away I saw the drive and, you know, the passion, not being satisfied with the conference finals. They want to go all the way and bring the cup to Edmonton. And, you know, that's the biggest reason I signed with Edmonton, is we have the group to do it, and we want to be the group that brings the cup back to Canada.
Can you maybe take us back to the summer, Jack? And you said that's a, one of the reasons you signed with Edmonton, but what was that process like for you, you know, hitting the open market and going through that decision and decision-making process?
Well, I just really enjoyed playing in Toronto with the Canadian market and the fan base and my teammates, everything like that. And, you know, when I saw that Edmonton was interested, that really lit a fire in my belly, and just wanted to go back and get another opportunity to win a Stanley Cup in Canada. So then obviously when you look at the group specifically in Edmonton, it's just like a no-brainer. You know, we're only getting better. And, you know, just the passion, talking to the guys, and, you know, how bad they want to win a Stanley Cup here is unbelievable. So they're a great group, and just can't wait to get it going.
Was there a moment that you realized that you wanted to stick in Canada? I mean, that's hard, that's kind of heartbreaking for me to hear as an American hockey fan. But I mean, I get what you're saying. Was there a moment last year in the last couple of years in Toronto where you're like, all right, this is a priority for me. This is where I want to be. This is kind of the route I want to take.
Yeah. I mean, it was really a blast playing in Los Angeles and my little time in Dallas. You know, great fan bases, great teams, but you know, there's just something special about trying to be that team that, you know, when you have the talent and you just put it all together and win a Stanley Cup, you know, I want to be a part of that in Canada. I think it means so much to the city and the fan base. In the States, it doesn't, but it's just, you're under the microscope here like crazy. And I think it gets the best out of you to perform at your very best.
You can't live in Manhattan Beach though. No, that's the tough part. It seemed like you had a pretty good time there. I was there a few months back. What was beach life like? Did you have any particular spots like around there in LA that you miss?
Oh, I mean, I miss the guys for one in LA. They really helped me succeed at the NHL level and got me to where I am today. And, you know, learning from Jonathan Quick, becoming really tight with him off the ice and on the ice, you know, a lot of things like that I miss, you know. Obviously the food and the sunshine is really nice, and yeah, definitely be checking it out in the off season sometime.
There was a coffee shop in Manhattan Beach that I went to every single day.
Java Man?
It was called Verve.
Oh, okay. Nice. There's a bunch.
Is that the wrong one? Is that the wrong choice?
No, actually, sorry for cutting you off. I think Java Man was in Hermosa. So that's her real world. Yeah. Yeah. There's some good options.
That's good. I'm going to, I know I'll show up in Edmonton before I go to California next time. Ask for a list. You did mention the Kings though. What did Jonathan Quick mean to you in your career, and how would you describe, you know, the ways in which he helped you?
Oh man, he like number one, he really just wanted the best for me. So whatever, you know, whether I was just watching him and learning that way, or if he talked to me and took me out for lunches, dinners, it's like just always had my back. And that's what I appreciate the most. And also just the way he carries himself. So that's what I'm, you know, as much as I learned from the advice he gave me, just watching him really kind of shaped who I am, and, you know, the accountability he has for himself, and, you know, the expectation of, you know, his standard of play. You know, that's something I learned, and, you know, his teammates love him, play for him every night. And he just taught me so much.
It seems like you have a track record of getting along well with your partners, right? I mean, that's no surprise. Is that something that you're bringing to your relationship with Stuart Skinner? Like, are there like kind of lessons that you picked up along the way? Cause he's he's about to start his first full season, right? He's a younger guy. So the shoe's on the other foot now, right? Like, are you going to, is that a focal point for you? Just kind of showing him the way on and off the ice?
Yeah. I mean, Quickie really, showed me so much, and, you know, just thinking of what he's done for me, I'm just super pumped to be there for Stu. And obviously I haven't accomplished the things Quickie has, but, you know, the things he's taught me, I really want to apply with Stu. And he's such a good kid and really talented goalie. So we're already hitting it off, and there's no doubt we're going to do some really special things.
The Oilers have gone with a tandem over the last four seasons. I mean, and now they're kind of changing course, going with a number one that they brought in with you. What kind of confidence does that give you that the front office and the coaching staff made the decision and said, yeah, we've got the confidence in Jack Campbell. He's our guy. We're going to bring him in for the next 5 years to do this thing. Specifically when it's, you know, you're signed through a similar kind of window of contention with guys like Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman. You're part of what they're building, a very important piece of it too. What does that mean for your confidence?
I mean, really, it means everything. The, you know, when we got the deal done, I just couldn't, you know, I'm just honored, and it's a privilege for, you know, Ken Holland to believe in me that well, you know, that much, as well as the team and the rest of the coaching staff. You know, it's just fires me up. I just wanted to work as hard as I can all summer to be ready to go. And now it's go time. And I just can't wait to, you know, live up to everything and just have some fun and win a lot of hockey games.
Coming into a season as like a no doubt number one, that's, you know, a little bit of a, I don't want to say it's a new thing for you, because we all know, you know, you've been a number one goalie in the past, but knowing that that's the expectation, right, that you're going to have an 82 game schedule ahead of you, did that change your approach? Are there like focal points, you know, for, you know, maybe where you're, is it, did your training change? Did your outlook change? Cause you're like, all right, now I'm the guy who from day one, from October, whatever it is, 50 games, 55 games, has there been a shift?
Good question. I mean, I think I've always taken the training part of it extremely seriously. I think when you start playing more, you got to be smart and manage yourself a little bit. Not saying you don't work hard, but just, you don't work as hard, I should say, but just, you know, you got to be smart. And that's things I learned in Toronto with different sorts of injuries, whatnot. So I feel super prepared from what I learned there and ready to have a big year.
You know, is the injury stuff, do you feel like that's past you? Like, are there any lingering effects there? Like, is it something that's in the back of your mind, or is that just, you know, clean slate moving on?
No, I mean, I think looking back, you can kind of learn from different things and, you know, working with different people to help you prevent those things from happening. And I've done that. So now it's just a matter of going out and playing and making sure you're prepared every day. And I feel I am. So I don't have any concerns or anything about that.
One of the things, you know, we hear so often when people talk about you is that you're the nicest guy in the room or the nicest guy that anyone's played with. I, I saw one story from Trevor Lewis. I think you guys went out for ice cream once and he really liked the flavor of ice cream and you just bought him this flavor all the time. Stuff like that. That's a good thing to, you know, be in headlines about, obviously, but have you adjusted to people kind of constantly asking you and writing stories about just how nice you are? Is that something that's been a bit of an adjustment?
It's definitely interesting. I mean, I don't know. I'm just like anybody else. So, you know, I don't really see why I get the attention for it. You know, we're all, you know, good teammates and we're all battling for each other and we all do things off the ice that are nice for each other. So I don't know why I get the stories, but you know, I definitely am lucky to have the teammates I have.
One story I saw that I really liked was that you went through a phase of really liking using a smoker. Mm-hmm. Like you would just, do you still do that? Like what, when we're talking, like you went through a smoked meat phase, like what are you firing up? What does this look like?
Yeah, I had like a Traeger. I bought it in LA and then I had it in Toronto. But my good buddy back in Toronto, he loved it, but he didn't have one and I was moving. So I just gave it to him. He loves it. So he's been, I used to do, you know, I love salmon on it. I love trying to do a brisket, even though that one's tricky. It's tough,
yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So like, you know, steaks on it are great, like a big tomahawk, but yeah, it's fun. Amazing. It's fun to get the guys over and fire something up. It's like an all day activity.
Did you pick up any brisket tips from Texas? Like, did you make it out to those places in Austin where they have the serious stuff out in Lockhart or whatever?
Well, that's why I can't do it because
you've tasted the best.
Yeah, like the Rudy's barbecue in Austin at the gas station. Yep. That's the pinnacle of brisket. And I've tried to replicate it and I'm not even playing the same sport.
It's always like the random gas station place where you're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever had in my life.
So good. Yeah.
And then you come to North America and your gas station's like, you know, 7-Eleven taquitos or whatever. It's not the same.
Yeah, taquitos. Those are really good too.
Yeah, I don't know. Like she's knocking 7-Eleven taquitos. That's like, that's not fair.
Maybe I'm not cultured.
Nope.
That's great. Sean, I think had one that he found that he.
Oh yeah. Someone was giving you, I can't remember who it was. I think it might've been Derek Forbort. He knocked you for being a Red Lobster fan. Like that's not fair. Like, do you want to defend Red Lobster here? Cause you're among friends. I'm a big Endless Shrimp guy.
Yeah. I mean, like growing up in Port Huron, that was a special,
yeah.
That's like a special treat that my grandma would treat us to, you know, but then when I got older, obviously catching on with the Happy Gilmore stuff, like the guy, you know, asking Shooter.
Yeah.
My treat. It's like my favorite line ever. So that's really where it came from. And then I just started ordering it because it made the boys rattled. So I thought it was great. Hilarious.
He likes Red Lobster and he'll bring it up sometimes. Like, you know, we'll be prepping for the show or doing whatever. And it's like, oh, we went to Red Lobster yesterday and I just don't get it.
It's a good hang, man. You find
I get the Happy Gilmore. I think it's great. It's very funny. I appreciate my treat, but I'm not a Red Lobster gal.
You find a good Red Lobster with a good bar and you just sit there and hammer some coconut shrimp. It's simple.
Honestly, I took my folks there and we had the best time ever and it was great. It's a nice spot.
This is snob stuff talking from whether it's Forbort or Haley or whatever. They can go
we're fine.
So you're living next to Tyson Berry? Is that right?
Yeah.
How's that going?
He's awesome. He's so funny. He brings such a fun personality to the room and obviously a heck of a player. So just nice to be by him. And we both like to cook and he's cooked a few nice meals already. And yeah, just a great guy to live by.
Have you done that in the past? Like, have you had that experience in the past where you've like been, whatever, have you lived in the same building as teammates or been in the same neighborhood, you know, where you're that close?
Yeah, I mean, Toronto is pretty spread out with, you know, the city pretty well. So it's you know, always a little commute unless you're downtown, and I lived in Etobicoke then, so not so much Toronto, but LA, we all lived in Hermosa Beach other than maybe three guys, so you know, kind of brings back those memories of walking over to somebody's place and they cook up dinner or vice versa. So definitely it's nice to have them over here and looking forward to a fun year with them.
One of your teammates that I wanted to ask you about, and I'm sorry, I feel like we're stealing so much time from you, but I feel like we have so many questions from Red Lobster to the Oilers. But one player I really wanted to ask about is Zach Hyman. You know, I think you guys had a bit of crossover with the Leafs, and he's just had such a great season in Edmonton last year. He seems like a genuinely great guy as well when we're talking about, you know, you getting a lot of the stories about being so nice. What's Zach Hyman like as a teammate and just as a person in the room?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, he's just genuinely like literally the nicest guy. And, you know, always thinking of other people as teammates, you know, you name it. So that's number one. But I mean, what a leader he is, you know, at the rink too. He works so hard. And, you know, I played with him the year I got traded from LA and then the bubble. So like that off season, we trained together. Then the next summer we trained together. Then he went to Edmonton. And so I've gotten to know him really well, and he really pushes the pace on the ice and the weight room, and just a great teammate, and always there for you. So can't say enough good things about him.
One of the, you know, we talked about this before we started recording, but this was a big summer for you. You got engaged, so congratulations again. And got a dog.
Yeah.
I think we keep seeing him walk by. So how many pets are in the Campbell household now? Because I know you're a cat guy, because I have to know about the cat birthday party.
Yeah.
Because I love that.
Yeah, I have well, Huey's our 5-month-old puppy. He's a Bernice and Golden Retriever mix. Oh, and he's amazing. And then we have Buds is one of the male cats. And then we have Doris, who's the female cat.
That's great. Is Doris named after anybody?
No, I just thought it was hilarious. I literally laugh every time.
It's the funniest thing. It's the funniest thing to see animals with like old people names. Like yeah. you just get a dog named Lou or whatever, a cat named Doris. That's the a Huey. Like you did it again. It worked. It worked with the cat.
I'm obsessed with it. Yeah.
What's the next one? Like if you get another cat or another dog, like what's the next name that we've got on the list here?
Well, my fiance Ashley and I are watching Friday Night Lights, the TV series. I've seen a few seasons before, but now we're rewatching it. And Tim Riggins like just adopted a dog and he named him Skeeter. Yeah. I thought that was sick. I was like, Skeeter, I like that. So
if you do like some kind of, you know, I don't know, some kind of weird accent with it, it just sounds great.
Yeah, he has that cool Texas accent, so yeah. I don't know if I can pull it off, but that's a great dude.
That dude's from BC. He's faking it. You can pull it off too. You can be like you can be like Taylor Kitsch and adopt a Texas accent. Let's go, Jack.
Maybe you can help me out with it. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love Doris. That's great. Yeah, that's my favorite thing, I think. That's the big takeaway today. Doris. I don't think we have anything else for you, Jack. I think this was great. We really appreciate all of your time and everything you shared about the Oilers and the animals. And I'm sure Sean enjoyed the Red Lobster. So
thanks for having me. That was
thank great. You so much.
Our treat.
Yeah, thank
you. Our treat, Jack.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Good luck with the season and congratulations again on the big summer with the dog and the contract and getting engaged. It's a big one, so congratulations.
Thanks so much. We'll see you soon.
Don't just ride the index. Seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's good stuff from Jack. I couldn't care less about the Oilers at this point. The big news for Jack Campbell and me is that Endless Shrimp has returned to Red Lobsters all through this great nation. And I would imagine
this is a hockey show.
Yeah, this is the Thriday show presented to you by Red Lobster.
You can't do that. You can't say that. That mm-hmm. is a advertising faux pas.
No, they sent us money. This is native advertising for Red Lobster.
There are two Red Lobsters in Edmonton, Alberta.
I was just about to say.
There's one. There's one in. Wait. There's two.
I'm surprised there's not more. That seems like a Red Lobster kind of place to me. This is a lot of pressure on Jack Campbell this season. Outside from, you know, whatever, taking care of his dogs and hanging out with Tyson Berry. They signed him for a lot of money. And that is a team that has...
That's number one goal. That's without a doubt, number one goalie money.
I think we tried to get at it, too. Because you don't want to just ask him, like... Second half of the season, pretty
rough.
You got hurt. What are you going to do about that?
And he said he's feeling good. It's the time of year where everyone's feeling good.
He realized what we were asking him. He was like, yeah, you know what I mean?
I think that's one of those things where when you're prepping for interviews, you know, like...
Mm-hmm.
Kind of should ask about this. However, like, what's he really going to say? I wasn't good last year in the second half.
Won't happen again.
And we got there.
Yeah, he was like, I haven't played that many games in a while. I really ran out of gas. Hopefully it doesn't happen. Like, he's not going to say that.
No. So I thought that was great. It was good to have Jack on. I think, you know, we hear so much about him being really nice. I thought he was fun. This is another look at our process into the show as we talk about treats.
Yeah,
had a recording delay because I just needed to have one of my Winto Green mints.
Disgusting. That's like
they're not disgusting. Like... They're good.
No, those are D-tier treats.
I have some Winto Green mints beside me and some Hubba Bubba bubble gum. So I love old lady and children's candies.
Those are bank candies. That's like when you
Hubba Bubba?
I'm not talking about Hubba. I'm talking about the other ones.
Oh.
This is the North America, Team North America Thread Issue. Presented to you by Red Lobster.
Winto Green.
Hubba
Bubba.
Hubba
Bubba Bubblegum.
And Jack Campbell's Cats. They are sponsoring.
Doris.
Thank you for our sponsor from this episode.
Thank you, Doris. We couldn't do this without you. We appreciate your support. I can't wait.
The smartest thing that Craig and I have done on the Tuesday show is just outsource the third segment to everybody else.
Absolutely. This right now is where we say, if you made it through our absurd first segment rambling,
which
I don't even know what happened. Okay, I blacked out. I don't know where we started and how we ended.
Whatever you folks hear, it's going to be significantly less than the amount of time we spent talking. Because Danielle
is going to make us sound like we have good pacing and we're good podcasters. And we should continue to have our own show.
I'm going to guess that Danielle ensures that the people get a little bit less 2016 World Cup content.
Sean went off the rails. I was literally just saying we are the North American podcast team. Hey, remember Team North America? And then we talked about it.
Yeah. I have a cluttered
brain. I don't know what happened.
I have a cluttered brain. What are you going
to do? It's fine. Things are going great. So again, if you've made it this far, and we appreciate you all so much, this is the point of the show where I take a page from Craig's book, and this is where I steal from the Tuesday show. Send us your comments and questions in the app. It's really not that hard to get there. Just go to listen, go to the Athletic Hockey Show, click on the Friday morning show. Leave us a comment. Mm-hmm. Tell us fun things about yourself. If you also like Winto Green Mints, I will gladly talk about them next week. And send us questions. Like, let us know what you guys want to hear about, because that's the point of this, right? Like, sometimes what we find interesting doesn't always intersect with what listeners find interesting.
Oh, I have a great idea for you guys.
So let us know.
I have a great idea.
What you want to talk about? Give us what?
I have a great idea.
Okay.
Third segment every show, we tell everybody who's stuck with us some kind of secret.
Why it'll did be you their, say it like that?
A secret. It'll be their reward. Your reward for sticking us for this long is the
you
order.
You get a little secret.
The order of the season preview stuff is kept under lock and key. The Red Wings and Kraken are running Friday morning, so you've seen those already. Over the weekend, the next four.
Sean, is this going to get up. You in trouble? And my secret was that I really like Winto Green Mints.
Yeah, because you're secretly born in 1941.
I'm an old soul. I might be young, but
you're not that young. This has been this has
I'm
been
still
the
in my
show.
20s, and this is my show. You can't say that.
That's fine. I know my place.
Yeah, that's
take
right.
Take us out of this, please, boss.
Sit back in your second seat.
Okay.
While I do the outro.
Yeah, do it.
Anyways, thank you really for everyone. What?
Thank you really for everyone. That's a prayer. You were saying that to God. Thank you really for everyone. And thank you for my friends at school. And thank you for my dog, Bono. Amen. Good night.
Please send them good health. I'm going to try that again. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. You made me laugh. We're never going to do this again. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening to this new episode that we've launched. Hopefully you enjoyed the first show. We'll be doing this again every Friday. And if you are not an Athletic subscriber, join us at theathletic.com/hockeyshow to get an annual subscription for $1 a month for the first 6 months.
Good. Third time's a charm.